greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Hello and good morning to you. Thank you for inviting me in your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're doing the broadcast here on a Wednesday morning. We have to do the broadcast a little bit early to get it here at the radio station so they can get ready for you on Sunday morning. Here each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. that we can come into your homes and tell you, yes, there is truly something to believe in. You know, that's very important in our life that we find that's something to believe in. And we trust today that if you don't have something to believe in before this broadcast is over, that you can receive Christ. And then you will have a much clearer view of what life is truly all about. Well, let's get our broadcast started. Martha and I does a song together. And this one says, "Oh, what a lovely name." So glad this morning here at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning that we can present that name to you. Good to see Doris. Doris, good to be with you the other day. And we're still praying for Arvin. And we have a lot of people in the radio audience and a lot of our friends in the churches, different places that we're praying for. Don't never think that you're out of sight, you're out of mind, because that's not true. We're always praying for you and your family. So if you have a prayer request or something you'd like for me to agree in prayer with you about, then just feel free to drop me a card or letter. I will assure you I will be praying. And I want you to pray for us. And, you know, the Bible said pray one for another. So I want to go back right now and sing my testimony. I've been singing this one for many years. And I hope it blesses your heart. It says, thanks to Calvary. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw some old friends that I used to know. Now when they ask me what has happened, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears flow down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. I went back to the place where I used to live. My little boys ran to hide behind the door. I said, boys, you don't have to run and hide from your daddy now, because you see you got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than and as the tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live anymore. I'll tell you, you want to change in your life, then go to Calvary. I had a fellow say to me the other day, I'm living right at the foot of the cross. I said, well, sir, I would like to say to you that that's not far enough. You need to be crucified. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. You know, that's what you need, is somebody else kind of running your life, so to speak. The Holy Spirit can lead, guide, and direct, and you can be a different person. I don't think, and I don't, well, I think I can support this by Scripture, that I've ran into anyone that has really had a true experience with God and cannot say that they are different. I just can't find that. So I know that He can make a change in your life. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, where you are. Maybe I'm talking to some that are in behind bars, incarcerated. I know that you've had some bumps in the road. You've made a few mistakes. Well, who has it? I've made them. I don't open my closet because I've got some skeletons in there. I would rather that you wouldn't see. And who hasn't made a mistake? But if we can take our mistakes and learn from them, then, my friend, I guess our mistakes are truly a blessing to you. Maybe I'm talking to you today, and you're downhearted, discouraged, and you're right at the bottom of the barrel. Well, you ain't got but one way to look, and that's right straight up, and you're looking in the right direction. Well, that ain't the sermon. I'm going to preach that to you here in just a little bit. But someone said the other day, I played this song by Martha, and she's been doing it for many, many years, and who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb, and they agreed with me. They said, Martha does a great job on that song, and it has never lost its power. So let's play it for you right now. Who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb? Martha still does a great job on that song. Been doing that for a lot of years. And we covet your prayers. We're praying for you. Don't ever forget that, as I said a while ago. But we also covet your prayers. We can't do the songs that we used to do. We're just like you. We're moving right along in years. But God has blessed our years, and we're really doing real good. Our health is holding up so far. We're just praying that it'll continue to hold up. And we're still pastoring two churches over in Speedway, James Chapel, and also Painter's Chapel, and we're just having a great time in the Lord. You know, someone said we're living out our golden years. Well, maybe we are. I don't really know, but my years for Christ has been good, and God has truly been a blessing to me, and I know He's going to be a blessing to you. Well, let's go right back before I bring the message today and do a little recitation for you. You know me. I love to do the recitation, so let's go and do this right here for you. And this one said, me, Pap, and Mother. When I was a little tyke, I sat at the table between my Pap and my Mother, and I ate all that I was able. Pap, he fed me on one side, and Mother on the other. We were chums those days, me, Pap, and Mother. On Sunday, we'd take a great long walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pap, he was always carrying an old cane, while Mother and me picked at the astros. Sometimes a sister was along and other times a brother, but there was always us three, me, Pap, and Mother. Pap, it seemed, always had his head down thinking. He didn't even hear me and Mother and the old cowbell clinking. The long streak across his face showed that he was always worried out one thing or about one thing or another. I didn't always understand Pap, and Mother didn't either. I grew up and I went away. I left the farm behind me. Just thinking of those parting nearly chokes me and blinds me now. I would have been all right living with a married brother, but we three had always been together, me, Pap, and Mother. I hurried back one day and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd be going where we couldn't follow. The long streaks in his face showed how much he had longed back for one another. How that we had talked face to face, we to hold back the tears, me, Pap, and Mother. Well, Pap's gone, but Mother ain't. Soon we'll be reckoning. She says she's already sees Pap's face, and his fingers are beckoning. Life ain't long. I'll go myself one day. Another, but we three will then be together, me, Pap, and Mother. Pretty hills that we will have to climb, and Pat and the paths for us to wander. We'll sit by the river of life, never to worry, me, Pap, and Mother. We'll hear the wild birds singing, me, Pap, and Mother, and see the wrens splashing, singing to one another. If God will only let us three be together, we'll have a wonderful time up there in heaven, me, Pap, and Mother. Let us consider some things this morning I have on my heart on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I want to ask you some very personal questions. How would you react if you were standing face to face with a holy God? I understand that repentance to a holy God is painful, but it's necessary. I've always said that in one day that you will either have to be pardoned or you have to be punished. You see, the most important elements of the Christian ministry is pointing men to Christ and to make them to realize that one day we will stand in the presence of a holy God. I wanted to play this song a while ago by my old friend Clyde Murphy. I mentioned it last week about the passing of Clyde Murphy, and I miss him. I tell you, I loved him, and he and I loved together. I mean, in a Christian love, of course. He used to sing that song, "If God is dead, who's just living in my soul?" Al, I thought about last week when I played that song. Well, there's no doubt right now about Clyde and his God, because he stands face to face with a holy God. But you know, sir, ma'am, there comes a time even in this life you may stand face to face with a holy God. When decisions come and when times come, I know that on the sod rocks of Roanoke, Virginia, many, many years ago, 1962 to be exact, I stood on the sidewalks of Roanoke, Virginia. I knew that I was having a divine encounter with the holy God. I knew that even though I'd been in church many years, I was raised in a church. My mother was a Pentecostal Holiness. My daddy was a Hard Shell Baptist. That only made me a whatnot preacher. But anyhow, I stood in the presence of a holy God. I knew that it was God. I knew decisions had to be made. I knew I had to say yes or no to God. And believe me, when you come into the presence of a holy God, my friend, that's the most serious moment that you will ever face. You see, when we stand in the presence of a holy God, we could either be inspired, frightened, anger, or indifference. But it should inspire us in deep reverence to realize that it is God. I remember that when I stood there, that one thing came to my mind, because, you see, I've been in church for many years. I didn't really know now how to be saved. I knew that this was a crucial moment in my life, and I didn't know what to do, how to do it. The only thing I could think of was the scripture came to my mind that if I would confess my sin, that God was faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, I took a hold of that, and I determined right then if I couldn't really, if I couldn't bury that deep in my soul and truly believe that, there wasn't any need to go any farther. Because if God couldn't do what God said He could do, there was no need in me even trying. But you see, Isaiah stood one time in the presence of a holy God. And as Isaiah of old, I was the same way. Woe is me. Hey, my friend, we sometimes don't realize just what it's going to be like to stand in the presence of a holy God. And I believe that we're going to be just like Isaiah of old. Isaiah stood in the presence, went into the temple, into the sanctuary, and there he was standing in the presence of a holy God. Isaiah responded to the vision by pronouncing the oracles of God. He seen himself as a doomed person, and he cries, "Woe am I!" When he saw God, Isaiah also saw himself as he really was. And you know, that's what we see. When we see God, we see ourselves as we really are, lost and undone. You know, that songwriter said his hand reached farther down than I could reach up. And true enough, God's hand has been reaching down. I think John Wesley called that prevenient grace. Prevenient grace means that God is always there. God is omnipresent. He's always there, waiting. Isaiah said, Revelation said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in, I will sup with him." I want you to look at that picture the next time you see it. I want you to look at that picture, and you're going to grasp how long that he has stood at that door. Because the vines are growing over the door, a lot of the pictures. Now, the next time you see that picture, you look at it. That picture portrays a door with the latch on the inside. And behold, he's standing there knocking at the door, and the vines have already grown around the door, because a lot of people have been waiting a long, long time. And God has been knocking a long, long time. And Isaiah, when he saw this, he really saw himself. And he said, "I am undone." Isaiah felt himself so disintegrated in God's presence. When the Holy One stands in the midst, all of our self-righteousness vanishes. Man automatically will run from God because he is a holy God. I don't know about you, but my friend, this old flesh of mine, and I can't stand in the presence of a holy God. I believe that Jesus Christ, that mediator between man and God, stands between you and God. And he intercedes for you. And I believe that when you come wholeheartedly, that God understands and God realizes it. Isaiah first lamentations was, "I'm a man of unclean lips." My, we're unclean people. We cannot be clean. Nothing we can do. You could give all the money you have and spend all the time you have in the house of God. But God not only wants that, but He wants you. He wants you to come and be honest with Him. The Bible often speaks about the power of a tongue. What can we say that can reveal what is truly in our heart? What we say reveals what we think of God. Jesus commanded us to be hallowed and to hallow the name of God with our tongues. That's why that the Lord's Prayer said, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Isaiah was purged according to the Bible. The Bible said, "And the seraphims came and touched the burning coals to Isaiah's lips." You see, repentance before a holy God is always painful. You know, we don't hear too much preaching on repentance and sanctification and all of these things today, because people want to be right with God, but they want to be right with the world. They want to be right with themselves. One man said to me, "I have rights." I said, "No, sir, your rights were hung at Calvary." when Jesus stretched his hands out on Calvary. He was stretching to the left and stretching to the right. You know what he was doing? He was taking the world and hovered into his bosom. And that was the only way that we could truly find repentance. So repentance before a holy God is always painful. It's hard to deny ourselves. It's hard to take up our cross and follow him. But after all, my friend, it will be worth the journey. It will be worth every effort that you and I try. Isaiah recognized that he was now pure. Hey, my friend, if you will come reverently to God and you will admit your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. He wants to make out of you what you really can be. Because sin, you have been made in sin, you have been mired by sin, and God wants to make you all over again. Now we understand Isaiah has had a change in his life, because all of a sudden, here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah, when God asked him, "Who can I now send?" Isaiah responded very confident. "Here I am, Lord, send me." I could truthfully say today, on this radio broadcast, down through the years, I have been able to say to God, "Here I am, send me." I said to God one day, I said, "God, if I'm going to go, I'm going to have people to stand with me. I'm going to have finances to support me. But Lord, as long as you are there, I'm going to go." And thank God, God gave me the desire of my heart. That's why that my ministry down through this December will be 50 years that we have been allowed to minister the minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day I said, "Here I am, Lord, send me."
I wondered if Mama was there all alone. I thought I'd drop by as I had before. But the sound from within made me stop at the door. She was praying, a sound that the world seldom hears. Praying. Her voice was pleading and clear. The sound of her voice as she spoke my name brought tears to my eyes. My heart filled with shame. Praying for someone like me. I was walking one night, I felt so alone. My heart was so heavy from the troubles I'd known. I hadn't noticed a church that was near, till the sound from within seemed to fill the air. They were praying, a sound that the world seldom hears. The children that God loves so dear, outside in the darkness I could not see, but I could picture them down on their knees. Someone like me.
Our Father, we come to close the broadcast. We do pray for those who are in need. We pray for the sickness. We pray for the family. We pray that somehow or another, through the many means of this broadcast today, that you have been able to use me as the vehicle, reach out across the airway to bless the people. Use the broadcast for your glory, and we'll give you praise in Christ's name, we pray. We appreciate you. Would you sound this week and write to us? We definitely need to hear from you. We're running just a little bit behind, but with your help and your support and your prayers, I know that God is going to richly bless and use the broadcast for His glory. Well, goodbye. Be good. May God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.